You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
12:08 here on The Fan, Tommy Lugauer. After hours, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Hurricanes knock off Ole Miss. They go to the national championship game. They will await the winner of Indiana and Oregon. That game will take place tomorrow night. Now, a couple things with Ole Miss here, and we'll get back to your calls because it does tie into the Giants. Number one, Ole Miss, you just... I don't want to say feel sorry for them, but they became a lot of people's darlings here because of the situation that happened with Lane Kiffin as he goes to LSU and didn't or wasn't allowed to coach in the college football playoff. A lot of people that are on the staff are going to LSU with Kiffin, including Charlie Weiss Jr., who was calling plays, the offensive coordinator, and he has done a terrific job here all season long, really. I mean, the credit clearly went to Lane Kiffin because he gets the gig at LSU, but there's a reason why he wants to bring Charlie Weiss Jr. over, because he is a great play caller. He's a great offensive mind. We know how great his father was at doing that as well. And on Sunday, Jordan Renan, my buddy, covers the Giants, tweeted out that Charlie Weiss Jr. is a name to watch when it comes to the Giants as far as an offensive coordinator. Young guy, I think he's like 32 years old. He would be an intriguing option for OC as well. Now, I don't know the relationship he would have with a John Harbaugh or a Mike McCarthy, because maybe his father, Charlie, has a relationship with them, and that might be able to get him the gig. And whether or not he wants to go to the pros or not, who knows? He's going to LSU. But Jordan got that, you know, obviously from somewhere and put it out there. So there's got to be a little bit of interest. And obviously, Charlie Weiss Jr. worked with Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. Jackson Dart at the game tonight. So there's a tie-in there. Just a name to be keep an eye on. Charlie Weiss Jr., not for head coach, but for offensive coordinator for the Giants. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Bradley's in Brooklyn. What's up, Bradley?
Hey, Lugie. I have a couple points.
Yep.
As a Giants fan, I always root for the Eagles to lose. That's probably, like, the only thing, because we never win. So, like, I always want the Eagles to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the Eagles lose this game against the Niners, it might help us, well, make us lose out on John Harbaugh, because he might become their head coach, right? But that will give us the opportunity to go out and hire a head coach with Super Bowl experience who's won a Super Bowl and a 600 winning percentage.
Sirianni.
In Nick Sirianni.
Yeah. So
Sirianni, he's always built a great staff.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt.
Jonathan Gannon, Shane Steichen, Kellen Moore, the 100%. DC now, there's always staff building. What Tiki always says, you need to build a great staff.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple things. Well, first thing, and then we'll kind of go back and forth. I personally don't think the Eagles are going to lose on Sunday. Now, if they do, you never know. Your jobs are never safe in Philly, right? It always feels like they want to run everybody out of town there. We'll see what happens with Sirianni. Now, the Harbaugh effect certainly is something to watch, like you said. Because let's look at the Eagles. Let's look at a team like the Packers. Let's look at a team like the Buffalo Bills. Now, I think that Sean McDermott should have gotten fired a long time ago, but he feels like a guy that's got a lifetime contract. That being said, when Harbaugh's sitting out there, maybe Buffalo would be more interested in getting rid of McDermott because they want to bring in a Harbaugh, although there is risk there. But you do have Josh Allen, which is a big-time bargaining chip to get a Harbaugh over there. LaFleur, there's been a lot of rumblings that he could be out in Green Bay. Maybe he keeps his job if Harbaugh's not out there, even if they lose. Same thing with Sirianni. I just personally think that the Eagles are going to roll on Sunday. San Francisco's coming into the game banged up, and I like Philly in the game. But if they lose and Sirianni's gone, yes, you're right, Bradley. It certainly opens up another opportunity. And Sirianni, to me, is a guy that I would put up high on my list because of the things you laid out. He wins. He builds good staffs. He's gone to the Super Bowl twice. He beat the Chiefs once. They rolled in that game. So he's a guy that I would be interested in. I don't care that he coached for the Eagles. That doesn't matter to me in terms of being like, oh, the heck with them. I wouldn't want him. So I would be all in on Nick Sirianni if he became available. He would be right at the top of my list with the likes of the Harbaughs and the Mike McCarthys.
Yeah, I also have like a different word for tanking. I don't know if you're interested.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if it's been said, but like pulling your punches.
Yeah, no, that one has not been said, Bradley, and I appreciate it. The fact that I even have to think about it, we're all going to know when it happens because we're all going to have the same reaction together when we hear it, and we're just going to just be like, yes, that's it. I'll have what she's having. That's what, you know, kids look up the movie. Although I think my girl, Sydney Sweeney, did the Super Bowl commercial. Was Meg Ryan in the actual commercial too? Well, it's from Harry Met Sally and obviously in the diner. But I forgot if Sydney Sweeney, I forgot she was playing the lady that said, I'll have what she's having when Meg Ryan is enjoying herself at the diner. Speaking of Sydney Sweeney, because this came through my brain the other day because somebody asked me comparing her to Tate McRae, who's better. And I know I was talking to Rosenberg, I'll out him here. His girlfriend was listening to the show and she had mentioned like, well, guys wouldn't like Sydney Sweeney if not because of what, you know, it's like, well, yeah, but that's a big part of it or two big parts of it. To me, Sydney Sweeney is the modern day Marilyn Monroe. That's what she is. She's not only hot, but she like plays into it. And that's a thing. And that knocks her up a lot of pegs. So I was thinking about that in the shower. I probably should stop there because I don't want to get, but it was nothing bad. But I was thinking about Sydney Sweeney in the shower, but I was really more thinking about the show in the shower. Because I've now gotten to the point, and I feel like Evan now, where I think about the show all the time. Now, I don't know if I'm going to become like him, where I'm a maniac and I have an iPad where I literally chart everybody's entire life in that iPad. I don't think I'll go that route. Like, I have notes, I put it on a piece of paper, and then I throw it out. And some things are on my phone. But yeah, I was in the shower thinking about Sydney Sweeney in the show. And it made me think, yeah, she's like Marilyn Monroe. And I wish I had answered it that way at the time. I didn't, but I'm answering it now like that. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to limo driver Ed on the fan. What's up, man?
Hello, my brother. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm going to tell you right now is, and I called in earlier to other shows before this. Watch that kid from Miami.
Carson Beck.
I don't care. Listen, I don't care about anybody else that, you know, doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You watch this kid from Miami. Now, when it comes to the draft, kid done 6 years. You watch this kid from Miami. You know, everybody been talking about all these other quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
Menendez and everybody else. But I'll tell you right now is, you watch this kid. Now, he may have the dart. He may have anything. But you watch this kid. And I'm telling you right now, I know, Lugie!
Yes.
But I'm telling you.
Yes.
Bro.
Yeah.
Watch him.
Well, no, honestly, Limo, I'm watching him right now on SportsCenter. Here's the thing. Carson Beck, wasn't he dating one of the Cavender twins? So he's got, you know, he's got obviously good taste. He's a winner, and you like that. Won at Georgia, not won, but you know what I mean, was successful. And successful here. Feels to me like a system quarterback. Bit of a statue, although he used his legs when he needed to tonight. I don't think Carson Beck is going to be great in the pros. He will certainly get a look. His stock is obviously raising here or as he marches on to the national championship. I think in the right system, maybe, but he needs everything working for him to be good. The great offensive line, the great defense. I would not put him over Mendoza. I would not put him over Dante Moore. I wouldn't even put him over the guy he beat tonight in Trinidad Chambliss. I know that sounds crazy because he beat him, but as I project him to a pro, the next level, he has the winning pedigree. He has the size. I worry about fully his mobility, and it's not somebody that I look for a flyer. Yeah, like you're saying for the Jets or something. Like the Jets should be in the business of just drafting, getting every single quarterback they can because they currently don't have any. Zero. Justin Fields was signed to be a quarterback. There's just one problem. He can't throw the football. So he's at a disadvantage there. Tyrod Taylor, good, if not great backup, always hurt. Brady Cook, wow. Could you say the worst quarterback in the history of the NFL? I'm bad, man. I mean, Jamarcus Russell would probably want to have a conversation, but Cook was awful beyond belief. So the Jets really need to be eyeing a bunch of quarterbacks here. And I think the more lottery tickets and the more guys that they draft and the more spins at the wheel they get, you could hit on one.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
But we've seen a lot of quarterbacks in college on, and I wouldn't say Miami's a great team, but they're very, very, very good. It's a wide open, there's no great team in college football this year. It's a wide open field. And you felt that way all year long. Like, Ohio State got the respect because they're the reigning national champions, but they lost their quarterback. They didn't have Will Howard this year. They lost some other guys on defense, and they won their national championship last year, and then this year when they beat Michigan. Texas came into the year the number one overall team and the betting favorite to win the championship. They didn't even make the college football tournament. They probably should have, because let's be real, like Tulane and JMU, and this is no disrespect. I have no issue with teams like JMU and Tulane making the college football playoff, because that's what I love about the college basketball tournament, to have those type of teams in there, and you get the Cinderella teams and the upsets. But the reason it works in college basketball is because the field is bigger. When you're only going to have X amount of teams and it's a shorter field with college football, it's how could you say that JMU and Tulane are better than Notre Dame and better than Texas? That doesn't mean that Tulane shouldn't get a shot or JMU shouldn't get a shot, but you got to expand the field, and you know they will. You got to expand. There's a lot of things I would do. I would expand the field. I would start it sooner. They got to figure out a way, like the teams that have the byes are getting punished because only one team in the 2 years of the college football playoff has won that has gotten a bye in the first round. Some of that was a little bit of the seeding in year one. And maybe this year it had to do with certain teams not being, you know, Georgia not being a typical Georgia team. Ohio State maybe being a little bit overrated. I don't know. It's maybe too small of a sample size, but there are a couple things that I think need to be changed, but they're going to add more teams. You know why? Because it's more games to watch, more games to bet on, more games to be interested in, more schools that will care. It's more money. So they will expand the college football playoff, and they'll probably start it earlier. Maybe they'll take some games off the regular season. These bowl games that they have now that are just pointless, other than they're sponsored, are going to probably go the way of extinct at some point. And who knows what number we'll ultimately get to, but this is not going to be the amount of teams that we see. It will definitely grow from here. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Sam in Long Island. What's up, Sam?
Hey, what's going on? I mean, I agree with what you just said about the field in college football. I was really calling to get an idea of what you think about the possibility of Mendoza falling to two, especially if Oregon ends up beating Indiana in the next matchup between them, especially if he plays better than Mendoza.
Yeah, if Dante Moore outplays him, and then obviously, Sam, he would have to declare at that point. I appreciate the question, and I've kind of floated it out there. You never know with the Raiders, especially when Al Davis was around. You never know what they're going to do, but just my gut instinct with Brady there, they're not going to pass on Mendoza. And even if Moore and Oregon beat Indiana tomorrow, and Dante Moore outplays him, you still look at the body of work of the year. Remember, Fernando Mendoza beat Dante Moore in Eugene, in Oregon's building during the regular season. So it would only be 1-1. I understand bigger stage now, but he beat him. Mendoza won the national championship. Excuse me, the Heisman. So individually, it was the best player in college football. So I don't think one game, even though it's a monster game, and if Moore goes on to beat Miami, wins the national championship, I don't think it's enough to jump Mendoza. I would be stunned. I would say it's 99.99999% certain that Fernando Mendoza is the number one overall pick. And then the Jets at two. Look, Ty Simpson has declared. We'll see what Dante Moore does. If I'm Trinidad Chambliss, I don't know who is, you know, who's talking to him about stuff, I would come out. Your stock's not going to get any higher. It's just not. To perform like this on this stage, and who knows what shakes out at Ole Miss. You know what I mean? Charlie Weiss Jr., like I said, is gone. He's going to LSU. Maybe goes to the Giants, but he's gone. They're going to have a whole new coaching staff. I would declare for the draft. He could go to number two overall. It's not impossible. The way he played and the skill set that he showed, it'll be interesting. But, yeah, I do not see Moore going number one overall. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Benny in the Bronx. What's up, Benny?
Hey, Luigi. First-time caller, huge fan, love the show.
Thank you, bro.
Just two questions real quick, then I'm going to hang up and listen.
Yep.
You were just talking about Charlie Weiss from Ole Miss. What do you think about him being the OC for the Giants, let's say with John Harbaugh? And I love the Antonio Pierce DC move. I think it's great. I think it brings a lot to the table. And also, I know it's a little bit of a reach, but what do you think about taking Caleb Downs at number five? I love the guy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question, Benny. And I brought up Charlie Weiss Jr. because Jordan Renan had thrown his name out there Sunday in a tweet saying it's a name to look at. A guy that you could bring in here as an offensive coordinator, which would make me think if Charlie Weiss Jr. is the hire, it would be more of a defensive-minded coach, or in this case, Harbaugh more of a program builder, special teams type of guy, so not really an offense or defense specifically. It would make a lot of sense, especially because Charlie Weiss Jr. coached Jackson Dart at Ole Miss, so you love the connection there. Now, as far as Caleb Downs, I think safety is definitely an option. I think wide receiver. I think you can't go wrong with Downs, Ohio State. You can't go wrong with Carnell Tate, Ohio State. But I think those are the two biggest areas of need right now for the Giants. Personally, if it was me, I would go wide receiver for two reasons. One, I have to have somebody strong opposite of Malik Nabers. I need that strong number two. I also want to get the most skill position people around Jackson Dart that I human possibly can. And we have to be honest and fair with ourselves here, or just honest with ourselves. Malik Nabers has shown that he gets hurt. Now, I'm not saying that he's injury prone, we'll see, but he's gotten hurt now, you know, last year with the concussions and obviously this year with the knee. So it would be also insurance. That's why I think it's a no-brainer. You go with the wide receiver at number five. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Pretty boy Tommy Lou.
What's happening?
How are you?
Good.
How are you, sir? Full disclaimer, anytime I talk to a host on the fan, I usually call between these hours like the 7 show or like the overnight show. But usually once I speak to somebody, if I'm listening to you and I've been listening to you for a while, I always tend to give them a name. So as of now, anytime you hear Val from the Bronx, it's going to be what's going on, my man, pretty boy Tommy Lou.
You know what? You know what, Val? We're buddies already because we're kindred spirits. I love that nickname because are you a boxing fan?
Yes, I am, actually.
Not
recently, but I have been in the past.
I know.
I go back to the days of like Felix Trinidad.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I, for the life of me, don't understand why Floyd Mayweather changed from pretty boy to money. Pretty boy was a much better nickname, at least in my opinion. I hated when he changed to Money Mayweather. I know it's like marketing and it's like the big brand, but I always liked the pretty boy Floyd Mayweather nickname than I did money. So when you said that to me, I was like, oh, wow, that touched a nerve there in a good way because I always liked that nickname for him.
I'm going to tell you right now with the Mayweather thing, that's just if you know anything about Mayweather, you know he loved money.
Oh, of course. He's got a lot of it.
Yeah. Floyd or Money Floyd, he's going to go, let's go to Green One.
I understand the progression too in like a nickname because like, but I like the idea of the boxers that always kept the same nickname. You know what I mean? Like that.
No, I got you. It's
synonymous with them.
It becomes a legacy thing. I got
for
you.
Sure.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to my point, so I want to talk some stuff with the Jets and the Giants real quick. But just before I get into that, you said some stuff with the young kids. Just so you know, there are a couple of mock drafts that have come out that actually have the Raiders taking more if he declares and Mendoza dropping. And additionally, that stuff with Chambliss, I don't know exactly how to take that just yet, because that could just be the young kid and his agent telling him to take as many options as he has. If he feels like he's not exactly sure of the stock that everybody is projecting for him, and there's a chance he might not go as high as he wants to, it's good to have that possibility, that waiver in hand, so that I can go back to college and try to. Because I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. His
yeah.
stock, as far as I'm concerned, will never be higher. But somebody else could be advising him differently.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, and I think that would be, just for me, it would be bad advice. Like, it's not on the not on the same level, but Drew Aller last year, I mean, where is this guy now? And last year he had, like, his stock was certainly higher than now. So when you're playing in these college football playoff games where you have a lot of casuals watching and it's people that it's locked in, it's the one game football of the night, and he's performing like he has, especially in clutch situations, if I was advising him, I'd say, come out, you're going to go early.
And not only that, injury-wise, anything could happen.
Correct.
You never know.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I get that these guys get paid now, like millions of dollars, but that's 1 year you get hurt, it could ruin your entire career.
All right, so let me get to why I really, really caught. Just give me 2 seconds, let this fuck back. Okay, so this is really, really why I called. And this is something that has been bothering me since, what was it? Was it Tuesday that the news broke that Harbaugh got fired,
yes,
right?
Tuesday. It was Tuesday.
So since Tuesday, and listening to all the conversations, I have been, as a Jets fan, I've been getting infuriated, okay? So I'm going to put some context to this argument that I'm about to make to you, just so we can speak on level terms, because I hear you. Wild card weekend and some of the other teams, like the more seasoned and the ones that look like they're more ready to go right now, definitely look like a better situation to either the Giants or even what I'm about to suggest right now.
Right.
But for the sake of this argument, right, let's say that mystery team that they were talking about was actually the Jets, okay? And let's also say, just for the sake of this argument, that the choice comes down to the Giants and the Jets, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the last few days, I've been hearing these arguments that make it sound like the Jets are nowhere near in that conversation if it was just the two of them. And I think that is total ludicrous nonsense. Because let's go through it. And I'm going to put this out to you, all right?
Mm-hmm.
If you discount the quarterback, the franchise QB, and I say discount because the Jets are picking number two. And based on those scenarios, there's a chance that they might even get Mendoza. If not, they're getting the next best quarterback that will be coming out of college. Okay, and as far the next argument that somebody might make is as far as ownership. Let me say it like this: if Woody Johnson is approaching Harbaugh, or God forbid Tomlin in a week or two becomes somebody who's available, and he's approaching one of those guys and trying to get them to take the job, what if Woody decided to pull like a James Dolan and actually looked at somebody like Harbaugh and Tomlin and said, "You know what? I am totally, because of your gravitas and who you are, I am totally hands off." You could pick a GM. You could be the GM. You could do whatever.
I'll stay out of it. Yep.
As far as the roster is concerned, once you remove those two things, and the franchise QB is important, I'll give you that.
For sure.
But I'm telling you, we are about to get one, and somebody's going to have the opportunity to develop that kid. Once you get past that, and you look at the rosters against each other, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's telling me wide receiver room, the Giants got to cover. I don't know about that. Garrett Wilson has been playing without a QB and putting up numbers, and like, I mean, phenomenal numbers since he came into the league. They just got that kid that we picked up in the trade who looks like, if we work with him well enough, he might become a decent number two. You look at the running back room between Braylon Allen, Breece Hall,
if they resign, and that other kid,
Isaiah Davis, I think our running back room is better than yours. Offensive line-wise, I believe that, and I think I'm like that, I want to say it's factual. This is fact. Like, nobody could argue with me. The Jets have a better offensive line than the Giants do. The only thing that, like, that
well,
is...
Well, you saved the worst thing for last, which is your defense, which is beyond pathetic.
And the thing that got Dable fired was problems with your defense. So as much as we got work to do on our defense, mm-hmm. so do you.
Yeah, so, I mean, Val, and I appreciate the call, my friend, and I look forward to talking to you in the future, and you laid out a lot of good things there. You did a good job in representing why the Jets would be an attractive job. Now, I could argue we could have went back and forth there. Would I take Malik Nabers over Garrett Wilson? Yes. Do I think that the Giants running back room is better? Yes, because what's going on with Breece Hall? Offensive line, you're right. The Jets do have a nice offensive line. The Giants' offensive line played a lot better this year. The defense on the Jets, we know, stinks. But I'm not going to sit here and say the Giants' defense played great, although they look better, certainly, at defensive line. And you would hope that Abdul Carter would get a lot better and actually get some sacks in his second year. Burns, we know, had a terrific year. Giants have the quarterback already. The Jets do not. But the Jets are in a position to take one. I think the Jets are a more attractive offer. I think the Jets are more attractive than people are giving them credit for. I wonder, though, like, we know the stench of the franchise. We know that. You can't say Jet fan without long and suffering in front of it. How do the Jets appear to everybody else around the league? And you said, well, Woody can butt out. And I brought this up, and you did too. Dolan finally hired the right person, Leon Rose. And now look at where the Knicks are. When for years people said the Knicks would never win if James Dolan owns the team. Now they're saying the same thing about Woody. So that part I don't know. What I will say is this. Let's say LaFleur gets fired in Green Bay. Like, it's a crazy weekend. Sirianni gets fired. Like, just off the rails. And you already have McCarthy and Harbaugh. And even though I don't like him, and I wouldn't hire him for the Giants, but you want to say Stefanski? How? Really? How do the Jets, with this type of head coaching class, continue to employ Aaron Glenn? Like, Mike McDaniel probably would still be the coach of the Dolphins right now if John Harbaugh didn't get fired. And Mike McDaniel had way more... I understand Glenn only 1 year, but McDaniel at least got to the playoffs a couple times, had over a 500 record. Like, he put together a resume that you could argue he would keep his job. Aaron Glenn, I know, is only 1 year. You need a larger sample size, but he had as bad a year that you've ever seen, and that includes Gase, Kotite for the Jets in history. The last four or five whatever games, non-competitive, no interceptions. The defense, he's supposed to be a defensive-minded guy, stinks. How many times did he look overwhelmed, over his head, like he didn't know what he was doing? For you to have all these coaches out here. So my point is, if you fire him, even if you don't have like an agreement from somebody, there's enough out there where you, in theory, because of the things you laid out, and a lot of them are accurate with the number two overall pick, all these picks, that you would be able to land somebody better. But by all accounts, the Jets are not going to do that, and they're going to stick with Aaron Glenn. And that's where we go back to the point of Woody needs to figure it out and needs to hire the right guy. He just, and maybe these are, maybe Moogie and Glenn are, but for a first year, Moogie had a good one as far as getting the picks, but Glenn, not so much. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. This is After Hours. This is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie, got you for another 90 minutes. We'll get back to your calls. I'll see you guys on the Giants, on the Jets, on the college football playoffs, on the quarterback situation, the NFL draft. We'll open it up to, in a little bit here, the next 20 minutes or so, baseball. Rob Manfred was a guest on the Carton Show today. We'll talk about some of the things he had to say. Next hour, I'll give you some picks, some feel for the NFL playoff games, the college football playoff game tomorrow. We will discuss Cody Bellinger, his situation with the Yankees and contract and numbers that are coming out with reports from Brendan Cuddy. So a lot to do here in the last 90 minutes. Again, the number's 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer here on the Fan.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
1242 here on The Fan. Tommy Lugauer. After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just 1 second. The Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. The Rangers lost once again at home tonight, 5-2. The Rangers are now 5-11-4 at Madison Square Garden. And when I hear that, and when I see it, and they can't score goals at home, and they've been really the opposite of the Knicks, and I know the Knicks lost a couple at home last weekend to the Hawks, to the Sixers, but they bounced back with a win at home against the Clippers. The Knicks have been unbelievable at MSG, and the Rangers have been pathetic. Their home ice lack of advantage, or their performances at MSG, really is one of the worst that I've ever seen from any team in this town. When you consider the fact that they start off the year getting shut out in like multiple games, and you have five wins, you're well under 500 at home, you don't score any. And every time I come into work on the train from Kew Gardens, the Long Island Ranger fan is on the train. They're going through the turnstile. They're all pumped up. They got their jerseys on. They're drinking their tall boys. They're having a good old time. They're rowdy on the train, in a good, you know, not a bad way, but in a good way. They're excited. And I'm sitting there going in my head, I'm going, these people realize they're going to go watch the hockey team lose? You realize that, right? They don't win at home. They just flat out don't win at home. And I know they're banged up right now. I know Igor is obviously on IR. Adam Fox is on IR. So they're going through it, and it's a first-year head coach, and maybe this is sort of a transition rebuilding year, and in a couple years, the Rangers are back. But it's going to get ugly here if they continue to play like this at home. It already is, but it's only going to get uglier and uglier. And those same people I'm on the train with, they're going to go to the game, and for one sole reason is to boo this team, because when you are this pathetic and this embarrassing and this lifeless at home, it's just unacceptable. Now, I don't think anything crazy is going to happen as far as the head coach or, you know, firing or anything like that. You obviously made a commitment to him, but this is inexcusable. And something needs to turn around, because I know a lot of people came into the year with high expectations just because of the pedigree that Sullivan has. And so far, at least at home, this team has not lived up to the billing. And now they're going to have to navigate the next, you know, how many weeks without their goaltender. Now, they have a good backup. You know, Quick is a good backup and a guy that is valuable. But life without Igor, life without Fox, and the injuries that they're dealing with, it's not going to be easy to navigate. And they can't figure out this home. Like, they were underdogs in this game to the Sabres. Like, that's just like, I know Igor's out, but it just goes to show you just how bad they've been at MSG. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Loogie, what's good, my boy? Congratulations.
No, thank you. I haven't spoken to you in a while, my friend. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, I greatly appreciate that, sir. And that's why I was so wanting to, you know, get the inaugural call out of the way, you know.
Absolutely.
Because I famously call this time slot and the overnight. And, you know, like, as you know, I used to call you guys in the afternoon sometimes, too.
Yep.
But it's just so much easier. And it feels more like there really is more of a family feel around.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. There's a bond that we have in the after hours, the evening, the overnights, you, the callers, myself, the audience. It's definitely a very family. Sometimes a dysfunctional one in a good way, and a wacky one in a good way. But I think that's what, right. I love it. I'm here for it. So the wackier the better in my mind.
Absolutely. And listen, you're going to love it, man. And I called about, because, you know, me and you share the Giants and yep. the Knicks in common, but I called about the Giants head coaching thing. Unfortunately, I just tuned in about 10 minutes ago, so I don't know where you stand there. I'm going to ask you that in a second. Mm-hmm. But I also just wanted to say, because I know you was talking to, shout out to Val in the BX, who shouts me out sometimes, too, big Yankee fan. And you guys brought up Money Mayweather.
Yes.
You do not want to affiliate yourself with that guy.
No, that no, not even, not is necessarily affiliating. It's just I like the pretty boy moniker more than I ever liked. When he switched to Money, I was like, ugh, I like the pretty boy moniker. So really, so to me, it's not even associated with him anymore because he doesn't go by that. He goes by Money.
Well, that's a great thing because the guy is undignified, unprofessional. He's the most overrated fighter in the history of the sport. I'm a student of boxing, especially in that era. The guy lost like five fights legitimately that were given to him, you know, on the scorecard for various reasons. But anyway, like I said, I think of you in a much more positive light. So I'm glad that he's not using that anymore.
No, I appreciate that. And maybe in like a slower time, we could go back. Because I wouldn't say I'm a boxing aficionado. I'm more of a wrestling guy, as you know. But I do like boxing, especially the big fights through the years. So anytime that like boxing is at the forefront, I'm all for it. Like, and I know there's a lot of like stuff that you brought up there where, you know, it makes you roll your eyes and you wonder what's going on and everything's on the up and up. But I think at its purest, it's a great sport. And when there are like fighters that we care about, people will plop $100. They'll go to the bar to watch it. Like whether that's MMA, boxing, wrestling, like the fight, the one-on-one is still something that we as Americans, the gladiators in the ring, we will absolutely rally around to watch.
Absolutely. Let me tell you who my favorite guy is real quick. A guy who is dignified and has tons of character and abundance, Manny Pacquiao. And if he would have not ducked Pacquiao for 5 years, Pacquiao would have knocked his ass out. That's why he waited, and that's what he did for the
Oh, and then, it was, and then it, was just a, it was a complete sham of a boring fight when they finally got in the ring. And then obviously the McGregor stuff was a circus. And yeah, I mean, I understand what you mean by like overrated as far as like he wasn't tested, especially in the end there. Now, maybe some of that was waiting for guys to be older before he got in the ring with him.
Yeah, very strategic.
Which is, I don't want to say smart, but in a lot of ways it's smart. You know what I mean? But like at the same time, like you want to see the two guys that are at their best fight each other when they're at their best.
Exactly. And last thing on him. Right, he likes to call himself Money Mayweather and say that he's generated the most money. That only became true after the fake, you know, that whole McGregor exhibition. Because prior to that, Pacquiao was the one who actually was the cash cow, and now he's second only because of that fake exhibition that he made so much money on with McGregor. But anyway, as far as the Giants head coach Lugie, I'm all for Harbaugh. How do you feel about that? And the thing is that I don't blame Harbaugh for what's going on in Baltimore. I feel like there's a double standard here. Like, everybody makes the same excuses for Lamar Jackson that they refuse to make for Josh Allen, who actually doesn't have a head coach, you know, an NFL coach. He doesn't have the weapons that this guy has. And this guy, you know, Harbaugh made three title games with Joe Flacco, won the Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. And I don't know if you remember, he was on the verge of beating Bill Belichick and Brady a second time prior to, like, the, with the catch in the back of the end zone before replay.
Yep.
Otherwise, you know, this guy, he's a hell of a coach. And it's not his fault that Lamar Jackson can't get over the hump. So just tell me how you feel about him as a head coach, or if you prefer somebody else.
Yep, and I'm thinking about the Floyd Mayweather-Arturo Gatti fights that were really good there, not to totally go off on another tangent with the boxing. But yeah, any time we could chop it up a little bit. I'm not Tony Page when it comes to boxing, but I do like boxing, MMA, wrestling. So you could kind of hit me with a lot of different topics around here. It doesn't always have to necessarily be right within the lines. If you ask me about soccer, the only thing I would say is I'm going to adopt a Premier League team. We can't do it on the air, but if you want to hit me up on Twitter at Tommy Lugauer, I am in the process of adopting a Premier League team. Now, some of the options are that I've narrowed it down to are Nottingham Forest, Fulham is another one, and the team, I forgot their name, but it's like the Stadium of Lights, which I think is a very much a Tommy Lugauer EDM after hours feel. But so if you know which team I'm talking about right now, or club, or whatever they call it, let me know. But I'm in the process, so if you have any suggestions, hit me up on Twitter. Now, as far as what Ray asked there, John Harbaugh, to me, is right at the top of the list. He's neck and neck with Mike McCarthy. Both guys, similar resumes, although the excitement for Harbaugh has been overwhelming from Giant fans, from media members, from really teams around the league. And Mike McCarthy, whether it's the stench of being the former, you know, Cowboy coach and going through that circus, whether it's the idea that he has underachieved considering who his quarterbacks were, if it's the idea of his 8x10 and his looks that kind of make people roll their eyes or kind of not think about him in the same light as a Harbaugh and his presentation, the way he carries himself and all that. I think they're neck and neck and they have very similar resumes. And I would be thrilled either one of them as a head coach. And the guys I don't want, Kevin Stefanski, I think he's a Brian Daboll 2.0, a guy that failed with the Browns, from a losing organization, brings that losing organization culture to the Giants. That's the worst thing they need. Stefanski, in his first year, wins a coach of the year, wins a playoff game. Same thing with Brian Daboll. Brian Dable's out there for the taking. If you owned a team right now, would you hire Daboll? Is Brian Daboll getting interviews to be a head coach? No. He's getting looks for offensive coordinator. There was a report he might go to the Raiders as an OC, not head coach. So then why would the Giants, coming off what they just came off of and hiring all these coordinators and all these guys that failed, not that Stefanski's a coordinator, but why would they hire a guy that did not have success? One playoff win, that's it. That's not the kind of guy that I would put at the top. Yet people think he is right there with Harbaugh, and McCarthy is just sort of an afterthought. I totally disagree with that. In fact, I don't want to hire a coordinator. I want a guy with experience, but I could be more convinced to hire a coordinator over Stefanski because it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't, meaning I don't know what the ceiling could be or floor for a coordinator, but I kind of know Stefanski, he didn't get it done. So what makes me think he's going to in his second stint? Let's go to Walt in Oceanport. What's up, Walt?
Hey, Tommy. Hey, listen, I got two names for the cat. Not that you care right now because
no,
I
do.
Your wife.
I know I do. I do, Walt. And here's why I care. Because we are getting, well, Gideon is his name for now. And Gideon will be joining the Lugauer family in about 3 weeks. And my wife, to your point, says, well, Gideon, unless I change his name. And I'm like, we really need to settle on a name here. And I like Gideon, but I also liked Augustus, which was the previous name. The only pushback I had with Augustus is Augustus feels like the name of a fat cat. Like if it was a cartoon and the cat was fat, his name would probably be
Understood.
Augustus.
Understood.
And she was worried about in Cinderella with Gus Gus. So she didn't want people to call him, hey, Gus Gus. And I was like, all right, you know, Cinderella's kind of an old movie. But I like Gideon, and I'm curious what names you have for me.
But Gideon is not like an ASPC ACAT. You know, this is like you got to go fetch it. You got to take like an airline plane or something like that.
I do. Yeah. We have to go to Missouri to get the cat. Correct.
Correct. You got to go a few states away.
Yeah, she's gonna go get the cat. I have to work, but she has to work too. But it's our cat. She can go get it. Yes.
Exactly.
So she'll be getting Augustus. I mean Gideon. Sorry.
So someone's got to pay for the plane fuel.
Yeah, well, I would.
But I've got Bootsy, okay, and I know that's not regal enough, but Bootsy, okay, for female, and I have Poby for a male cat.
Poby, yeah, I gotta think about those, Walt. You're right, because we're getting a teacup cat. I think it's a Persian teacup, and it's like an aristocrat. It's very regal. It's very cosmopolitan. It's very fluffy. And my wife wants the cat to never age or grow up. And I think that's the breed, that they don't, well, they age in the sense internally, but outwardly they stay the same. She doesn't want the cat. Because I even said to her, I was like, oh, you know, when you're at work, because now with my new hours, you know, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to be around the cat. And I go, well, she's like, yeah, you guys could hang out. I'm like, yeah, but what, you know, it's a cat. She goes, no, you guys could play a little bit. And I go, yeah. I'll throw him the ball or run around or something. She's like, hey, I don't really want the cat to be too rambunctious. I go, well, what do you mean? You don't want, what do you want? She goes, oh, I just kind of want him to sit there. I mean, I thought cats like climb all over the place. You give them the string, they do some stuff. You just want our cat to sit there? Why don't we buy a vase? It'd be a lot cheaper. Or I could just get a gerbil. It'd be a lot cheaper. You want an immobile aristocrat? That's what we're looking at here, named Gideon? I just think there were more cheaper options, but it wasn't a hill to die on. But I'll throw those names at her, Walt. I appreciate it. And then if anybody has suggestions with cat names, too, you can hit me up on Twitter and call me. Why not? We're here for 5 hours on the overnights. We open up the floor to anything. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls on the Giants, on the Jets, college football, playoff, the draft, the quarterback situation, all the head coaching stuff, the carousel, Stefanski, Harbaugh, McCarthy, a lot on the table there. Next hour, we'll open it up to the baseball, Rob Manfred, what he had to say on the Carton Show today with Craig and with C-Mac. Plus, Cody Bellinger, some news broke a few hours ago about his contract and what the Yankees were offering him or are offering him. So a lot left on the table to discuss, another hour to discuss it here on After Hours. Tommy Lugauer on the Fan.